Welcome to Vantage Radio. Vantage is a storytelling company. Story is a language everyone speaks, and we believe the most powerful stories are found in the Bible. Meet our cast and crew and see what goes on behind the scenes of the stories we tell. We hope you get a bigger picture of the story God is telling and where you fit into it. Enter the pages of Scripture and experience the other side of the story.
Hey there, this is Andrew. I'm the founder of Vantage Stories, and I'm joined today by Nathan York. And our short film, The Gift of Cancer, is all about Nate's cancer journey. And it is a vulnerable and a powerful short film. In fact, if you haven't seen it, best thing you could do right now is just push pause on this podcast. Go look it up on YouTube, The Gift of Cancer, Vantage Stories, and just watch it, because this will all be a lot more enjoyable for you to listen to after you've seen our short film. But one of the number one questions I get after we share this film or show this film with people is, so how is that guy? How is Nate doing? And we're about almost exactly a year after we released that short film, after we were setting up lights and cameras in your living room and asking you a bunch of probably way too personal questions. And I'm just hoping that today we could ask you a few more. Let's start with that one we get all the time. Just like 1 year later, how are you doing? What does life look like for you now?
Yeah, things are going well. Still cancer free, still in remission. So that's the biggest thing. It's a little nerve wracking. Every 3 months, I get scanned, and you know, leading up to that, it is a little bit stressful. But we just take it, you know, one day at a time.
You just had a big scan, right? Like the 1 year.
Right, 1 year of remission scan. For my particular cancer, it's the risks of it recurring are pretty high, and the further I get down the path of remission, the lower the risks become. So yeah, up to this point, it's been every 3 months of scans, and now we're switching to every 6 months. Part of that is the risk has gone down. The other part is that every scan involves, you know, a certain amount of radiation exposure, so they don't want to cause another cancer by, you know, scanning more than they need to.
Yeah, and you guys got some travel plans.
We do, yeah. We have some plans for Europe this year. I want to take the kids. We lived in Munich, Germany for a year before kids, so we kind of want to go back, visit the sites, show the kids where we lived, that sort of thing, and but just kind of travel in general. So that should be fun. And then, you know, there were some purchases that I'd put on hold, like a new mountain bike and some skis and stuff. And so I went ahead and bought those things. You know, again, there's nothing's really certain in the future, but figured, well, you know, even if I get 6 months or a year use out of them, that's, you know, that's something.
Yeah, that's awesome. We're so happy for you. And we, along with so many others, have been praying for you and your family, and just love that you got good news, at least this time. And then you get some more time each time those scans look good.
Yeah, thank you. We appreciate all the prayers. We feel very just lifted up and supported in that.
Yeah. Well, this is a little bit of maybe a weird question to answer, because no one really likes, you know, seeing themselves on film or hearing their voice on a recording. But I'm curious, you know, being the subject of this short film, what were like the parts that were most impactful for you?
I will say, in years past, it was very strange for me to hear my voice on a recording or see myself on video, and found it quite embarrassing. And so I used to shy away from, you know, seeing myself on video, and that didn't happen with this film. So I think part of that is, you know, being so close to death and being told I had so little time. A lot of maybe the ego, my ego has been put to death in a sense.
Yeah.
So just recognizing that God uses these things for a purpose, and I don't know, just being okay with it. And so I think the most impactful thing for me, just seeing the video, is just recognizing how God has used this, hopefully for people in their own life as they're going through struggling with suffering and things like that. It's a strange thing to be in a hospital bed, to be in a lot of pain, and to recognize that, okay, maybe the end is near, and to understand, like, what is the point of suffering? That's a hard thing to wrestle with. And one of the things that occurred to me in that moment was, no, there is meaning to it, even if I don't really understand what's going on.
Now that you've put this story out there, not just for the world, but, you know, your friends, your family members, your neighbors, what has been the response to the gift of cancer?
Some people, I've shared it with them and didn't get really any response. And some people have just been thankful for, you know, sharing the story and being open and vulnerable about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I get to see the YouTube comments, obviously, and we've done a few, like, showings with different audiences, and almost every time we do a showing in an audience, there's not a dry eye in right. The crowd, you know, and we'll have people come up, and it brings to mind for them either moments of personal suffering or secondhand suffering from, like, a family member or a close friend, and I think it gives them some peace and some perspective when they get to hear you say things they feel, but in a way that, like, draws them close to the heart of God, which is it's just beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. When we did that interview, we were in your house. We were all morning and afternoon. We asked you a bunch of questions. You were talking for hours, and you said so many profound things. There was so much good content from you and your wife, Shara, that you shared during that time. And, you know, obviously you can only fit so much in a 10-minute short film. And I'm just curious, are there pieces of your story that you wish you could still share or include, or, like, context you could add on to that?
One of the things I would maybe say is don't overlook the little things in life. This is a pretty common thing with somebody who's gone through a serious illness is, you know, talking about don't take the little things for granted. And certainly I think that's very true. I would go a step further, even in more, like, theological terms, talk about, you know, the kingdom of God is often not impressive. It doesn't necessarily look like, you know, big programs or, you know, really polished events. Those can be part of it. But, you know, Jesus often tells parables that, you know, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed, and it grows into a big tree, or a little piece of leaven that, you know, leavens in a huge, you know, amount of dough. And that's been, I think, one of the things I'm more aware of in this is it's the little things in life that really matter. Be faithful with a little. So that can be things like the conversations you have with your kids or your wife that maybe don't seem like a big deal, but those are the things that often really matter. It's the same thing with, you know, I meet with a number of guys, kind of as a mentoring type thing. And, you know, it's not something that's going to make the papers or things like that. And it's not something I want to be big. It's actually something that, to me, the smallness of it is what's beautiful. And what seems unimpressive, I think, often has a bigger impact than we realize. So we did a trip back to Santa Cruz, to visit, our former church there. And that was a really sweet visit for us because those were people that I wasn't sure I'd ever see again this side of eternity. And the pastor at that church, he was really, like, maybe the only Christian mentor I've had in my walk. And he was the one who again, just being faithful with a little, he took the time to meet with some guys in the church and to mentor them and to, you know, build into them spiritually. And I was one of maybe 10 guys that he did this with. And, it, you know, again, it wasn't something impressive. It didn't look like much, you know, if you were looking in from the outside. But that really fundamentally changed my faith, my understanding of God, a much better understanding of, no, God genuinely loves me. God genuinely loves us. And that was more than 10 years ago. So it was really sweet to be able to go back and just thank him for that. Just, hey, Andy, thank you for being faithful with what God had given you. And I think that's something I would say for the church in general, like pastors and just people in the church who are mature in their faith, like be faithful with what God has given you, because you never know what fruit that's going to produce.
This, for me, was one of the most unique projects I've ever been a part of. And, you know, we're in the business of telling Bible stories, and it might sound weird to say, but this story in particular is the most I've felt like God was involved in the whole process. You're aware that our mutual friend, Chris Burgess, was the one who had the idea by asking me out to coffee one day and just shared that he felt like the Holy Spirit was telling him to tell me to tell your story, that we needed to get all of us together in a room with a camera and a microphone and see what happened. And at the time that he shared that with me, we'd already started filming another project. I had emptied the bank account. We didn't have any funding. We didn't have a shot list. None of the planning or pre-production we normally, you know, spend months doing for project had been done. It was just like, the Holy Spirit's telling me we got to do this. And who am I to argue with him? And so I want to say within a week, we were in your living room setting up cameras and lights and rearranging your furniture and getting ready to interview you. And while we were doing that, I remember you shared with me a story that I'll never forget. And I'd love for you to share that with all of us.
Yeah, this was before I had any sort of symptoms. This must have been February or early March of 22. I enjoy going up to Bogus Basin. It's a ski resort here in Boise. I was driving up by myself, just going up for a morning of, you know, some skiing. And I just had this vision on the way up. I like to listen to some worship music. And as I was going up, listening to worship music, I just had this kind of intense vision of like having cancer. Being effectively on my deathbed, it seemed like. It was just this really strong impression of like going through cancer. I'm not a super emotional person, but I remember getting to the top of the mountain and just being in tears, just kind of like overwhelmed by it. And I remember kind of the resolution of that when I got to the top was having the sense of like, well, if something like that ever happens, you know, of course, praying it doesn't happen, but if it happens, I would want God to use that story in some way. And you and Vantage immediately came to mind. Is like, this is something I would want Andrew and his team of people to, if they're willing to like tell that story and use it for a purpose. You know, I should clarify, this is not something I told Chris or you or anyone, in fact.
Oh no, I'm well aware you never told me.
I never told you. I forgot about it.
Yeah.
I totally forgot. It was one of those things. I went skiing and I just kind of thought that was weird. I don't know what that was about. Probably a part of me wanted to forget it, right? Because yeah. I just didn't want to, I don't know. It's a scary thing. Going through the initial process of being sick and lots of misdiagnosis and stuff like that, that was all very intense and scary. And it was so overwhelming that I just kind of forgot about it. And it wasn't until where I got the text from Chris, it must have been February of 23, somewhere around there, asking if I would consider doing a video. And then I remembered, like, oh, right.
We were supposed to do that.
We were supposed to do that. And he asked if I was willing and, you know, willing to do that. And my almost immediate response was, yeah, I think I need to.
Yeah, that's incredible that it's like the Holy Spirit was giving you this preview, not just of the pain, but also of the purpose of the pain and a way to like share the story. And then you forget. So he tells Chris and Chris tells me, and then you tell me the full circle story
right. Minutes
before we're about to begin talking. And that was the moment where it was like, you know what? I'm not worried that we don't have any money and that we don't have a shot list. Like this is something God's doing that's way beyond my control, and he's gonna see it through. And I think even that sentiment really like resonates with a lot of what you continue to share in your interview that morning. And I would love to hear just like, you know, the suffering didn't end at that first CT scan 1 year ago. You've still had pain. There's still been difficulties and challenges along the way. And just would love to hear even how your philosophy and theology of pain and suffering has continued to be shaped, and how you continue to experience God in the midst of those hard and difficult times.
This is something that people have been wrestling with for thousands of years. So there's actually a lot of this in Scripture. You read the Psalms. There's a lot of people just crying out to God, like, God, what's going on? What are you doing? One book that really stands out in the wisdom literature of the Old Testament is the book of Job, which was really, really on my mind a lot during this whole process. And it's really a question of like, why do bad things happen, right? And I think, you know, one of the things when you go through something like a sickness that's very intense is everyone wonders, is God punishing me? Did I do something wrong? And I certainly, you know, in the very early stages, that was something I was just mindful of and was praying about. But I think pretty quickly in that process came to the point of understanding like, no, this is not, you know, I'm not being punished for something, but we do live in a broken and a fallen world. And, you know, Jesus himself is very clear, in this life, you will have trouble. And, you know, none of us are getting out of this alive. Like, we're all going to experience death and suffering. And so really, there's a question of how do we make sense of that? I will say one of the things that kind of struck us in that moment of getting the initial diagnosis and being told it was terminal, which, you know, fortunately was not true, but at the moment that was what we understood. Our response to that was, you know, of course, grief and tears, but also to sing and praise. And I very much had a sense in that moment of this is a way of kind of an act of defiance against darkness. I don't know if that makes any sense, but yeah. It was one of those things where I just had to kind of think about it and like, am I just going to worship God in the good times, or am I going to worship God as good in the difficulties as well? And I think some of this is, you know, for me, it's grown me in my faith, understanding that my faith is genuine. And I think sometimes we don't know that until we go through the hard times, right? Am I just worshiping God because he's giving me what I want, or am I willing to worship even in the hard, even the stuff I don't understand? And so for us in that moment, that was like, I think, a core part of our response. Not to pretend that it wasn't happening or to try to avoid it, but to just acknowledge that suffering is real. It's going to happen. That doesn't mean it's without purpose. And it doesn't mean that, you know, we can't trust God. For me, one of the key parts of my theology that made all of that seem doable was really the understanding of resurrection. Understanding that death is not the end. Death does not have the final say. That even if I die from this, I will be resurrected. I will be with Jesus. And it's not some kind of disembodied spiritual existence in heaven that's, you know, kind of vague or not real, that the resurrection is it's a part of the renewal of all things, and it's very physical, more physical even than the existence that we understand today.
You know, most people never live with the perspective of knowing how many months or how many years that they have left. And, you know, I've just talking with you, you've made comments like, oh, I didn't think I was going to be alive at that point, or they didn't think I was going to get to see or experience that. Or even like, you know, if I get 6 months or a year out of my new bike, that'd be great. And what has changed about your perspective, and even changed about the way you live since you got that initial 4 to 6 month diagnosis?
None of us are entitled to life. Life is a gift. Every breath is a gift of God's spirit, right? It's his ruach, his breath in us. We're not guaranteed tomorrow or next year. This whole experience has made that very real. And this is part of the gift that keeps on giving. So even things, you know, even today, just biking over here, you know, seeing trees in bloom or things growing or whatever, hearing birds, these are things that I appreciate so much more now. I can look at that and like, wow, I get to experience that. It's not something that I just assume or take for granted.
And then what for you, like what shifted about your perspective when you think about or imagine the future?
I don't know what to think about the future. And this has been something just for me personally and for our family that we don't entirely know what to do with. So, you know, as we were talking before we started interviewing, we were going to do a Europe trip this summer. That was something that we put off until my last scan because it wasn't, you know, we didn't want to book something and have to cancel last minute. That was one of the things in summer of 2022 that was just such a repeating pattern, having to constantly cancel trips and things that we had planned. So it was very disruptive to our sense of what the future is going to be. Things as small as a trip, but even for me, things in terms of, you know, what do I do career-wise? What do I do with my time? Does it make sense to launch into something new that's maybe a large time commitment? Just don't know what to think about that. It's just very up in the air. I don't know what the future holds, but I really don't have a lot of anxiety about that. I don't know how to describe that.
Yeah.
It really is a peace that surpasses understanding. And a lot of that is, you know, this idea that hope is not the same as optimism. Hope is really like trusting in the person of Jesus and the work he did in his death and resurrection. Understanding that that's the hope. My hope is in a person, not in, you know, some kind of circumstances or hoping that things work out. It's one of those things where, you know, the English word for hope, I think, is maybe used too loosely.
What would you say to someone who is going through some of their darkest days right now?
I would first just be very empathetic. One of the things that I have just grown in through this whole thing is really just understanding the pain and suffering that people are going through and just recognizing that's hard. And it's good and appropriate to mourn that. Like, going through hardship is not something that I think is, it's not healthy to just ignore that or pretend it's not happening or just hope for something better. I think it's good to sit in that grief and to lament, right? But the other thing I would just encourage them is just knowing that God is good and God uses these things for a purpose. And you can actually grow through these kinds of experiences. I certainly, having gone through suffering, I feel like I've come through the other side, not traumatized, but more feeling like I've grown personally and actually more at peace and having, you know, of course there's heaviness, you know, leading into a scan, but just in general in life, I feel lighter. Sometimes I still have those kind of impulses to get worried about little things, but then I catch myself like, that's really not that important. It's not worth, you know, getting stressed about. My faith and my faith in Jesus as the creator God of everything coming as a person and suffering and dying and demonstrating that that's really the true nature of power. Like, that's the nature of his kingdom. That has been a huge source of just strength and encouragement for me. Understanding like that's what pre-configures my understanding of reality, and suffering within that context is much easier to go through.
We found ourselves actually together at a memorial service this last week, and I remember you making the comment as the band was rehearsing, these are actually the songs I would have wanted played at my service. And you also said that was something you thought about almost daily.
Yeah.
And maybe still do think about often. And none of us knows how many days we have. And scripture tells all of us to number our days and to live with eternity in mind. With that, you know, like we all hope and pray that you continue to have good news and clear scans, and that you do get to see your daughters graduate and see them get married one day, and even see little, you know, versions of them running around the house. But, you know, for all of us, even if we get sick and then get better, eventually we all die, you know, our ticket gets punched, we run out of days. And when that day comes, as you've thought about what that would be like, I'd be interested to hear what kinds of things would you love to be said of you at that service?
Right away, the main thing is I hope my life has just pointed people to Jesus. Again, the whole thing with cancer and, you know, potentially terminal illness is like I said in the opening line of the video, it gives you clarity. Like, what is my purpose? What am I doing here? And, you know, it really does give you an eternal perspective. And when I say point people to Christ, I don't just mean like in a, you know, say his name, or like, I mean this idea that God loves us so much that he came as a human, like lowered himself for our benefit. Like, that understanding of God is, I just think it's so important. And even just how we interact with one another. Like, one of the things that when I'm, you know, mentoring guys, I'm just trying to constantly remind them of is pointing people to Christ. And when I say that, I mean dying to yourself, taking up your cross daily. And a lot of what this comes down to is understanding it's not about me. Like, I'm very loved and I'm very precious to God. I'm one of his children. But it's not about me. And there's such great comfort in that. And I think that's part of like the reason I'm not super anxious about dying. And I think about a funeral, you know, my funeral, and my hope is that would point people to Christ. And one of the things I've said is, even though I don't understand why I got sick, and of course I understand we're all going to die, we're all mortal, but why I got sick at this time with this type of cancer, which is like really aggressive, and the numbers on it are just, they're really dismal. So, you know, why me? I could go down that path. But instead, what I try to focus on is, if God can use this to draw even just one person to him, that's eternal.
Thank you for letting us all into your story, and for being vulnerable and courageous to hear yourself on a microphone and see yourself on film, all for the sake of making your life about something bigger than yourself. And it's a beautiful story that has impacted so many people in giving them hope and perspective and purpose in those darkest days of their life. I think a lot of people, when they do watch it though, they just want to, in some way, I don't know, send you a casserole or care for you however they can. And I think a question that a lot of people would love to know the answer to is just, how can we be praying for you?
Yeah, I would just say continue to pray for complete healing. You know, we're praying that the cancer does not recur. But in line with what we've been talking about, just praying that the story would impact others, and that would always be pointing people to Christ.
I'd say let's do that right now as we close out.
Okay.
God, I just thank you for Nate and for Shara, their family. And as weird as it sounds to thank you for his cancer, I do thank you for the difficult journey that you've led him through and are still leading him on, and all the people that you have given hope to and perspective and purpose to their own pain as they walk their difficult roads as well. And so I just ask that you continue to use Nathan's story, not just of this one isolated event, but his life, the story that you're writing new sentences and chapters into every single day, that you would lengthen that book, that story. You give him more chapters for years to come, that you would like give him the complete and full healing in his body, that you would just restore his life and let him have plenty of years on that new mountain bike and on those new skis, and that he would get to hold his grandchildren one day, and that this story would have impact for years to come, not just because of the one he told once in front of our cameras, but because of the incredible life that he continues to live each and every day. Amen. Well, thanks, man, for your time. So appreciate you being willing to let us into your house and into your lives. And I think the gift of cancer is going to be a gift that continues to bless people.
Thank you for tuning in and hanging out with us behind the scenes. Be sure to follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Vantage Stories, and subscribe to our YouTube channel for first access to new videos we release. Remember, we are all storytellers, and we all have a story to tell, and your story matters. To be continued.